all your hearts now, just sing it. Once again, hallelujah. I hope you'll join with me and give it your all this morning. I love giving God the glory, and he's worthy of that praise. Amen. If you're joining us by way of the internet, we pray that you would just create an atmosphere that the Holy Spirit would be welcome, and I believe he can reach out and touch you, friend, wherever you may be. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, This Is My Desire. Oh, this is my desire. All I have within me, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Our God Reigns. What key is this? C? F? makes me happy. Hallelujah. Oh, our courageous Lord. Our courageous. Our courageous. Our courageous. Once again now. Praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing one more as we change the order of our song service. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Reaching high and far. Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching high and far than the brightest star, and sweeter than the song they sing in heaven. Oh, let the saints proclaim what a lovely name. And soon he'll come in clouds of glory, saints of every race shall behold his face all of the day. Hallelujah. And with him enter heaven. Ever to acclaim, what a lovely name. Oh yes, what a lovely name, the name of my Jesus. Is that right? Reaching high and far, oh yeah, than the brightest star. And it's sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Oh, let the saints proclaim what a lovely name. Verse 2 again. And soon he'll come in clouds of saints of every race shall behold his face. Oh, and with him will enter heaven's city, ever to acclaim what a lovely name. Now sing it. Oh yes, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching high and far, oh, than the brightest star. And it's sweeter than the songs they sing. Saints proclaim what a lovely name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. I'll let you have your seats for just a moment. These musicians play something softly there. Just have a few special needs here we want to make mention of. have a prayer request here for Sister Angie. I believe she has a cold this morning and she was requesting prayer. Let's remember her in prayer. We have a couple folks that are not with us today. We want to remember them as well. I believe the Cathys, my sister and brother-in-law there in Beaufort, South Carolina today. They were not able to be with us, so if y'all could remember them in prayer. Request to remember the Swaffords in prayer. They were not able to be with us. Yeah, I believe he was having to work. So let's remember them in prayer. Remember Sister Carol and Sister April. I believe they were wanting to be here today, but could not attend service. So let's remember them in prayer as well. I don't have any other requests up here. We just want to continue to remember those needs that have gone before. And keep holding those folks up in prayer. It's good to have our pastor's wife with us today, Sister Becky. Amen. It's just good to see you here. We've been praying for you. I know that you're going through a rough time. And God knows the needs. And I believe He'll carry us through those lonely times. Amen. Let's all stand. I'd like to ask Brother Matt Cross if he would come forward and take these needs before the Lord at this time. Amen. Do you have any unspoken prayer requests by the uplifting of hands? Amen. God knows that need, friend. Just hold that on your heart. Amen. Come forward, Brother Matt.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, Father, it's our great pleasure to be gathered together in your house this morning, Lord Jesus. Having already experienced your presence, Lord Jesus, we just lift our hearts up in worship before you, and we acknowledge you, Lord Jesus, as our Lord, as our Master, as our Savior, Lord Jesus. Lord, as the one that brings healing, Lord, as the one, Lord, whose hand of mercy moves upon those, Lord Jesus, who travels, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would watch over our ones who are out today, Lord Jesus. Sister Angie, Lord, sick with a cold. Lord, we pray that this morning to Sister Angie, Lord Jesus, you would be, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, for each and every need, Lord, of sickness in the body, Lord, wherever it might be, we pray that you'll be the God of healing, Lord, to them. We pray for the continuance of the service today, Lord Jesus, that you would come in and have preeminence and have your perfect will and way, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats. The Canons have a special. Before they come, we'll sing a song. They would be getting prepared for the song they have. I'd like to sing that song. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are fairer, much fairer. Precious, more precious than gold. Just like the rose of Sharon, you're fairer than the fair. You are all my heart and soul's desire. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are precious, more precious than gold. Once again now. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than more fairer than the lily that grows. Come forward at this time. We have an announcement to make for the Sunday school class for the 13 to 17 year olds. Sunday school class will meet today at the Fellowship Hall at 4 p.m. So just be aware of that. The Sunday school class will be today at 4 at the Fellowship Hall. Amen, Brother Keith.
You know, being on the road for hours at a time gives you a lot of time to think and pray and reflect. And I was just listening to the news earlier, and I've just been appalled at how quickly and how bad our country has gone down in the last little bit. You know, there's nothing now that can make me turn around and go back. But one day all these battles that we fight, they'll be forgotten whenever we trade this old cross for a crown.
I started out with a made-up mind to one day cross the finish line. I pressed in toward the mark and for the prize. At times I've had to stand my ground and Satan's tried to turn me around, but I will not be hindered by his lies. I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgot when I'm trading this old cross in for a crown. That have reached home, they now wait for us to win this race. A banquet like we've never known will be held at God's royal throne. There will be rewarded for our faith. Oh,
I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake. I've come far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten when I'm trading this old cross in for a crown. I'm not gonna walk the way I've got. Too much at stake. I've come too far to turn back now.
To Buchanan family. Amen. I think I've ever heard a song Brother Keith sing that didn't lift me up. Amen, brother. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and have our deacons come forward at this time. Take up our morning offering. I'd like to sing that song, He Has Made Me Glad, as they're making their way. Brother Tom, would you lead us in prayer, brother? enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter his gate with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Come on now. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Sing it now. Oh yes, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad.
Springs of living water. I'm not sure if that's the same key or not. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. But I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Wonderful and bountiful supply. Sing that chorus again. Oh, I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. Satisfied.
Drinking at the spring of living
water. Wonderful, beautiful supply. Praise the Lord. Shake hands with some Christian nearby, and you may be seated this morning. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Good to have all of you here today. Musicians, if you can hang on for a sec. How many appreciates our musicians? Just sounded so good this morning. And we appreciate each and every one of you being here today, and those of you that are back from being away, those of you that have not been well, and we are honored to have you. I don't know what your name is, but good to have you over here. We are blessed to be able to have all of you with us today. I've got a lot of hay on my fork, so I want to jump in and get rid of the echo, and then we'll start right in here this morning. A couple of quick announcements here before we begin. And we wanted to pass along our condolences to Brother Josh Godwin's family, his aunt that we had mentioned a couple of weeks ago, who had had surgery, passed away yesterday. And had some real complications with surgery, and it's Josh's mom's sister, and we regret her loss. Josh, you pass on our condolences and our thoughts and prayers to your family and your mom especially, and we'll be praying for you guys in the upcoming days as you go through that experience with your family. We also, I'm not sure if we mentioned Brother Ron Knobloch, and I need to correct this. I said in the update yesterday that Brother Ron didn't have any broken bones. He did have hairline fractures in his knee, which I know what that feels like, and it's a painful thing, so it's difficult for him to move and get around. So he's the doctor gave him strict orders to be off his foot and rested up for at least 3 weeks, and he told me, I said, can we do something for him? And he said, he'd just been studying the message. He's just been going through sermon after sermon. He said, I've learned a lot over the last few days. And so we sure want to remember Brother Ron, and we miss him today. We've got a couple of special prayer requests here this morning, and I want to pass these along to you. Sister Sharon McCafferty, I didn't know this request, and I didn't even know that Sister Sharon had an older sister. She's older, right? And she has an older sister, Carolyn Wachelchuk. She's 44 years old, and she's a mother of three children. And she was diagnosed in October with stage 4 lung cancer. She had a 5% chance of living and 18 months to live. That's the diagnosis they gave her. Her last chemo treatment was last week, however, and the doctor was optimistic after her last scan that the tumor had shrunk and was almost gone. So Carolyn said to the doctor that God had healed her, and her doctor said it was sure something that took place. And so we want to, if you don't mind, we'd like to just present that need before the Lord this morning, not only for her healing in the physical realm, but also for her salvation as well. And Sister Sharon, you pass along to her that we'll keep that on our hearts, and we'll be praying for her. And when it's a family member, it's tough. When it's a sibling, you just think a little bit differently about that. And so we want you to know we'll be praying for you as well, and just trust that the Lord sometimes will give you the word to say to her that sometimes makes a difference, builds faith, and allows God to be able to move in her life. And so we will pray that way as well. Yesterday we had the unfortunate incident of going down. We went down to Peter and Rachel's house, and their dog, their new dog Hank, was attacked by a pit bull and ravaged. And it was just a horrible thing. And we went down last night, and I just felt so burdened. Myself and Sister Becky went down, and Brother Tom and Sister Kim, and we were there with the family last night, and were there, and Hank was laid out. He's bandaged all over. He had extensive wounds and even bite marks in his mouth. It was just unbelievable to see him. So we laid hands on him and we prayed. And for those of you that may not think that that's an ordinary thing to do, you had to remember that God delivered animals to Brother Branham and had him pray for him at his front door. And we know that all things that are created of God. And so we laid hands on Hank and prayed. And this morning they were watching Hank as he actually got up, stood up, and walked around a little bit and with some assistance and got out in the yard and came back in again to the house there. So he has to go to the vet every single day to be able to change dressings on wounds until they can set the broken bones in his body. And but we're just thankful for the progress, because the difference between last night and this morning is substantial. And I said to Peter, that's just the enemy. That's just the devil that would come and just try to disrupt things in their household and injure that animal. And so we just want to pray for his complete recovery, and not only that, for the peace and tranquility back in their home again, because that's a traumatic thing to have to deal with, and especially for the children. So if you don't mind this morning, there's our projector on. There's our announcement about the sign-up for the marriage. We also have some printed brochures now for the Israel trip. So all the information's on our website, and we have a couple of printed brochures for those of you that prefer that, and that's available. January 24th, Sister Lydia Clayville had a birthday, right? had a birthday. And Sister Lydia, God bless you. How old are you? 11 years old. 11 years old. God bless you. Brother Roger had a birthday the same day. God bless you, Brother Roger. We appreciate you very much. Sister April Grant had a birthday on January 25th. She is with Sister Carol Henley this morning and listening in. And Sister April, we wish you all the best. God bless you. And Jonathan Mayle had a birthday. Right? How old? 34. God bless. January 27th, Sister Greg is not with us today. Sister Greg has not been well, and we sure would ask you to continue to remember Sister Greg in prayer. Her birthday was 27th, and Sister Chanel also had a birthday that same day. God bless you, Sister Chanel. We appreciate that. January 29th, Keith Buchanan's birthday. How old are you, Brother Keith? 45. Halfway to 90 years old. God bless you. Sister Sabrina had a birthday on January 3rd. Will have a birthday. Will, not yet, right? Will have a birthday. We want you to understand that. It will be coming up, but it's not yet. God bless you. January 31st is Catherine May. Right? Catherine, how old are you? She's going to be 5 years old? Really? Wow. She was waiting all week for this moment. God bless you. Brother Wayne?
57.
57. We're going to just flip that around now, if you don't mind. This is Brother Wayne's 75th birthday. Brother Wayne, we appreciate you. God bless you. Good to have you today. God bless you. And happy birthday. Same day, Brother Brian McCall has a birthday, right? Brother Brian, God bless you. Appreciate you very much as well. February 1st, Stephen Swafford has a birthday. The Swaffords are not here today. She contacted me, and her boss at her work had bypass surgery. And so the responsibility for running the show landed on Sister Danielle. And so she'd been working more than double shift during the week. And she said, pray for the recovery of my boss. I said, we sure will. And then February 1st is also a special day because Levine has a birthday coming up, right? God bless you, Levine. 18 years old, right? I was going to say you don't look a day over 17, but God bless you. We appreciate Levine being here. Brother Troy Hughes has a birthday on February 2nd, right? Brother Troy, God bless you. We appreciate you very much. And then Sister Shirley Lingle on the same day. God bless you both. We appreciate that. That's why they're sitting on the same row there. And God bless you. We appreciate you very much. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to look to the word of the Lord. Good to have Sister Becky back with us today. We appreciate her very much. We're going to take your Bibles. If you don't mind, we're going to look in Romans chapter 8. And let's sing that little chorus this morning, if you don't mind. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Let's just sing that together.
We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
One more time. Sing it together now.
Yes, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus.
Father, we invite you now, Lord, to come very close and break the bread of life to us. We often ask, Lord, as we lift our cups to you, that you would just come and be that one that fills them today. Lord, we are reminded very much of the lateness of the hour and the things that your prophet saw so many years ago, Lord, now coming to pass right in our midst. And it just stirs our hearts deeply. We commit this service and this day into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. And all the bride said, let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. If you're not already there, we'll let our musicians take their places there. And let's look in the scripture. The climate, super signs, and the Pope. Probably not what you were expecting today. Romans chapter 8, like read it verse 18, if you don't mind. 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature, or the created thing, itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So there's a change coming. So Paul is prophesying. There's a change. There's going to come a change. Everything about the creation is going to change. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for what? The adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. Still got an echo up here. I don't know if you can hear it out there. Yesterday morning, my wife and I decided to go to a different, do something different. We went to Cracker Barrel, took out Brother David and Sister Missy, and we went out to Cracker Barrel for breakfast. It was really nice. When I was there, we sit in a certain spot, and there's a picture on the wall. And I really love the picture. It's called The Shepherd and His Sheep. And it's a very old print. It's a black and white, very old one. And I even asked the manager if I could buy that print off the wall. You know that stuff that's on the walls at Cracker Barrel? And I tried to buy it off her and couldn't do it. But she came back and gave me a number, a business card of the corporate office and said, you know, you can contact them. And she said, we have stuff that falls off our walls all the time. And so they're always replacing it. So she said, just ask him and see if he can get that print. I said, it's very hard to get. It's this beautiful, serene, old-fashioned print of this shepherd guy sitting on a rock. He's got the sheep around him. And it just kind of makes you, you know, relaxed when you look at it and you think, wow, how nice. And I'd like to get that. I'd like to get that because I'd like to have it in my office and look at it before I come out and look at it, you know, when I go in, because it just seems so nice to be able to have a setting like that and to look at that and to think, I would like to be able to lead my sheep like that. You know, where it's peaceful and serene and everything is nice. But the world won't let us have that kind of peace. That's the problem. I'd like to be reminded of it, and I'm going to try to get it. But the world won't let us be that way. Because we're living in a really unique and exciting time. Today I want to talk to you about some things that I think are exciting and things that are happening here. Maybe you've never pieced together, and I'd like to be able to present you some things that you probably haven't heard or heard together before. As you can tell by the title here today, we're going to explore some things that we haven't talked about in the past. I appreciate everybody who sent me links this week and stories this week about events that were happening in the world and things that were happening in Rome and things that were happening in Israel and so forth and related to the climate and different things and random people sending me things from here in the assembly and around and people who just shared links with me. And I just began to look at it all I'll ponder different things, especially that are sent to me by believers, and because it's something that catches their attention as well. And I just began to study down through there, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will take those things from me and quicken them to the place where all of a sudden, ding, the light goes on. So stay with me today as we look at this, and we'll just see how we can progress, how quickly we can progress through this here today. Now, if there was only a way that we could get to the next slide, it'd be really good. In the message identification, Brother Branham says, Lord, and this is his prayer, spread forth your great holy wings, he said tonight, and may your august presence be so felt among us that we'll fear. God, we want to know just our standing place now. I love this little phrase. We want to know our standing place now. We want to know where we stand in the eyes of God and in the economy of God and on the timeline. We want to know where we're standing. I mean, it'd be a shame if you were about to experience something great and you didn't know it, you couldn't prepare for it. Or if there was something that was going to take place in your life and you were completely unaware, it'd be terrible. Or if you were expecting something, but that event was not going to happen for a long way off. You'd be misaligned with the timeline of events in your life. And so Brother Branham's praying, and we want to know where our standing place is now. Where do we, as the Bride of Christ, where do we stand right now? And this is not 1963. This is 2019. So we want to know our standing place. I'd say we want to know it even more now than we did back in that day. And we're checking up and taking inventory of our lives. It might be, just before the rapture, the calling away of God's people. Now, one of the things that people sent me this week, and you may have seen this, and forgive me here because my graphics are not so great. I was just clipping this off the internet to try to get it on the screen for you, was the adjustment or the announcement of the doomsday clock for this year. They make an adjustment every year, and they present, like they did back in Brother Branham's day, they presented an estimation of how close the world is to what they refer to as doomsday. And the arm of the clock moves continually back and forth based on the assessment of people who are non-governmental scientists and politicians or former politicians who gather together and they make an assessment of how dangerous the world actually is and what kind of threats do we face and is it is it nuclear threats or whatever, chemical warfare or whatever else? They kind of add up all the things that are taking place in the world and they say, yeah, the world's a safe place or not a safe place. You can go there anytime at all and take a look at it. Just Google that and you'll find the site there. There's all kinds of other stuff that's on the site. But this week they made the announcement that we have established a new, not a new normal, but a new abnormal. And they said it's still 2 minutes to midnight. Now, being 2 minutes to midnight again after last year is not a good thing, and they're quick to point out that this is not a favorable conclusion, but rather this is something to be concerned about. Let me dig in just a little bit to this announcement here as I want to bring out something. This is the title of the lead article on the Doomsday site. If you went there today and looked at it, this was the title of the lead article. And the title says, the Doomsday Clock says it's almost the end of the world as we know it. And that's not fine. I'd like to take exception to that last little part. If this is the end of the Gentile world, I say bring it on. If you have anything left in your bucket list, and this is I clipped it and pasted it out of the article here. If you have anything left in your bucket list, do it now because the world is close to annihilation. That's quite a statement for an unbeliever to make. But these are observations that they're making in relation to the world as they see it. Okay. Now, they're not looking through the eyes you are. They're not looking at it with the understanding that a believer has. But they're looking at this and just making a kind of a natural scientific assessment of where we are in our standing. And this is what they say. If you've got something on your bucket list you want to do, you ought to get to doing it right now. That's according to the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, which gave its annual presentation of the Doomsday Clock on Thursday. A group of scientists and scholars, including 15 Nobel laureates, set the clock at 11:58, 2 minutes to midnight, before the symbolic apocalyptic midnight. Now, they have no idea what the apocalyptic midnight is actually going to be like. They don't mention Armageddon. They don't mention the Bible at all. But they know that we're near a great change in our world. They go on to say that information warfare is amplifying major worldwide threats like climate change and nuclear warfare, endangering the future of civilization. U.S. experts said Thursday as the symbolic doomsday clock stated 2 minutes to midnight. Now, information warfare includes all the stuff that's out there that you can read as news and the stuff that's out there that's called fake news. And the stuff that's out there that people put out to twist your understanding of things. There are nations, as we know, and we see an ongoing process of discovering in our world, that there are nations out there that deliberately mislead other nations even, in sponsoring certain things that are out there and giving the people an impression of certain things. It goes on all the time. It makes everybody skeptical, and so you should be. I say this, thank God for an absolute that God sent in our time. My goodness, if we didn't have an absolute, where would we be? We'd be subject to all the fake theories and hypotheses that everybody else scrambles after in our time. The manipulation of facts, fake news, and information overload, amen, along with global warming and flirting with nuclear war, all are factors that have brought humans as close to destroying the planet as ever, said the nonprofit Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. Let me tell you a little something about the nuclear arsenal that we have in our world here today. And this is not private knowledge or anything. This is commonly known among people who know common things about this particular thing. That some of the silos that have missiles in them were built and parked in there in the 50s and 60s and 70s and positioned so that they could fire at will. So somebody needs to press a button, enter codes and so forth, and they can engage nuclear missiles in defense of or in an attack of another nation, for instance. Much of the technology in those systems is really outdated. As a matter of fact, some of those systems still run on 5 1/4 floppy disks. Remember those? And the reason is because they put it in place, then they had agreements that governed the use and the updating of systems and computer systems that control these weapons. So the Intercontinental Ballistic Treaties and so forth that were signed essentially put a hole on everything related to some of those missiles that are in silos there. So in the world, there are systems that have very, very outdated equipment attached to them. Not all of them now, but some of them certainly do. And so therefore, there's a risk associated with that because things can go wrong a little easier than if things are updated. And so humanity now faces two simultaneous existential threats, meaning threats that are beyond your capacity to deal with. There are external threats. Either of them would be the cause for extreme concern and immediate attention, the group said. And these two things that they're dealing with are the two things that are in yellow above there, climate change and nuclear warfare. This is their statement. Jerry Brown, the executive chair of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, said world leaders are not doing enough to scale back the threat of nuclear weapons. And the blindness and stupidity of the politicians and their consultants is truly shocking in the face of nuclear catastrophe and danger. We are almost like travelers on the Titanic, not seeing the iceberg up ahead, but enjoying the elegant dining and music. Now, again, these are not believers. These are people who are looking and observing and things. Now, there's a lot of things that the bulletin here stands for that I don't agree with. And some of them are just, tree-hugging, California, Birkenstock-wearing, Volvo-driving people out there. And just things that they say that I don't agree with. But nonetheless, this is their observation, and I'm just passing it on verbatim because this is what's on the site here. And they're flagging two things that are they deem to be very critical in our world, and that is the changes that are in our environment and the nuclear possibility for nuclear confrontation in our world. Now, let's go to what Brother Branham said. Now, the world and nature is groaning. Crying. Now, may I remind you, this is in 1960. For the manifestation of the sons of God, when true sons, born sons, filled sons, speak, and their word is backed. I believe we're on the border of it right now. So this is a bride. He's visioning that's coming into maturity when they will speak and God will honor their word. And he said, all the world and nature is groaning and crying for that and waiting for that day of the manifestation of the sons of God. How many can say amen? Now, this is where you come in, all right? You're involved in this here because you're essentially holding up the whole process. We are holding up the whole process. Or, in other words, God is dealing with us prior to the culmination of events that are taking place in the world. All I want you to do this morning is just listen, take in some of this stuff. All of these links and so forth are available. You can go research it yourself. I've just put it together for you so you can be able to study it quickly here today. In the flashing red light of his coming, this is 1963. The sermon title itself ought to alert you to something. It's the flashing red light. When you see a flashing red light, you tend to pay attention to what's going to happen here around this flashing red light. Living in this great day that we're living in, near the coming of the Son of Man, and lights flashing everywhere of his coming. Lights are flashing everywhere. Here's a prophet standing there, People are looking at the Bay of Pigs. They're looking at, the political scene in their day, John Kennedy and so forth, all these different things that are taking place. But I believe that Brother Branham's looking at something a little bit bigger and a little bit broader than just that. Because we got through that era and went on to other things. But he says there's flashing red lights here. And I believe he's speaking prophetically because he's referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ a second time. Right? Are we okay? Everybody out there? We see it in politics. We see it in the church. We see it in the time we're living in. And we see it everywhere we look. We see the sun don't look like it used to. The world is out of cater. They tell me right now that at the North Pole up in there, that the sea has become, I forgot how much deeper than it used to be. So he's doing the same thing we are. You know, he's just researching without the internet, but he's researching and listening to different news pieces that are, sharing some science. The Bering Strait, you could walk across years ago. He said now it's many, many feet deep in the Bering Strait. And he said, why? Because the earth is swelling in the middle. So there's movement, in the earth and, different principles that are operating there. He said it's getting shallow out here where it was deep and getting deep up there where it was shallow. And the world is completely out of cater. She's toddling. She's weaving. All nature is giving in everything we can see. Again now, these scriptures that I'm giving you all tie back to Romans 8 where the creation, the created thing that God made and for His people to dwell on is heaving and groaning and crying. It's travailing. Something's about to give. And when somebody is travailing or they're groaning like that, something's going to break. Something's going to give. And this is the idea that Brother Branham conveys. Whenever he uses this scripture in Romans chapter 8, he says something's about to happen. Something's about to give. Now, in Romans chapter 8 here, as we quoted here, the whole idea of this scene that we're looking at this morning is all contingent upon waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's all contingent upon that. And there's a promise that Paul says, that one day, he says, it's going to be glorious. Verse 18, he said, when we compare the sufferings and the trials of this world, and we have them, right? There's some bad things that happen in our world. There's some things that we'd love to avoid. There's things that we just would like not to think about in our world that we live in today. But Paul is saying that at the end of the day, in comparison to that, this is so much greater. What we're coming to is so much greater. So while the world would like to look at this and say and describe it under the banner of a doomsday clock, we look at it literally as the glorious translation of the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, in order to really say that and say amen to what I just said, you've got to have faith that this is actually going to happen. And that's my whole point this morning, that I believe that God wants you to have your faith built up and strengthened because we're coming to a day when it's only going to be one place or the other. A place where the doomsday scenario unfolds, or the glorious transformation of the bride of Christ, and they sit at the wedding supper on the other side. Right? It's one or the other, folks. And we're coming to that place, and I believe that God wants us to have faith for that moment that comes. So all of this earnest expectation, all of this anticipation for the glory that is to come, all depends on the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's why this should be important to all of us. Brother Branham says this, and he gives us this little key. He said, uniting time and sign. That's the name of the sermon, again, in 1963. He's got a real stirring going on in 1963 because the seals are coming open here. They've already been open. This is August in 63. And there's things that are unfolding to him, and he's kind of caught up in this realm of understanding God's Word in such a new way. And he's absolutely excited and enthralled about what's going on. And this is what he says. Watch nature. Oh my. Nature is God's calendar of signs. So there's something about nature, because nature is a creation of God. There's something about it that we should watch, because it'll tell you things. It'll teach you things. Did you know that? Jesus told them to watch nature. Jesus told them, the people of his day, to watch nature. But he said the sea would be roaring. This is Luke 21. The sea would be roaring. There'd be different things. The earthquakes, diverse places, national strife, signs in the heavens, signs on the earth. Everywhere, there'd be signs of these coming times. What times? The times we're living in. One of the ways you know you're in that time, not the only sign, but one of the signs that occurs that lets you know that you're in the times that Jesus spoke about, is that the events or the changes that take place in nature. Because he said the sun doesn't even shine like it used to, and the seas are different depths and so forth. They're moving, and coastlines, and all the other things here. He's adding all of this up. The sea would change. He said in the earthquakes in diverse places, national strife, signs in the heavens, signs on the earth, nuclear activity, all the other things that are happening in the earth here. And Jesus said these would be signs of the coming time. In other words, those should be flashing red lights to us to let us know truly we have arrived at a very, very significant time when something's going to happen. So we refer to then this as nature is God's calendar of signs. In other words, if you flip the calendar in God's dimension, you would look at it and say, this is the first of earthquake, or this is the first of flood, or this is the first of fires, or this is the first of... That's God's calendar. In other words, that's how it's written. But as Noah stood in the door of the ark and warned the people of the oncoming destruction, so is a gospel preacher that's born again today standing in the door. Hello? I'm standing in the door, folks. I'm standing in the door of Christ Jesus, enshrouded around by the Holy Ghost, warning the people of a coming destruction. That's what I'm doing today, if you're not clear. Sure as it was in the days of Noah, here we are standing in this day. Now, it began in Brother Branham's day, and he's heralding the arrival of a certain sequence of events here, but it's not over in his day. He's heralding the beginning of it. We're living in the conclusion of it. Are we okay? I believe I'm preaching to people who will not die of old age. I believe we'll be translated, caught away in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I believe that's why there's an urgency about all of this here. He said, now, how could science say rain come from there, from the skies in the days of Noah? But you see, God knew how to bring rain from there. Could it be that science doesn't know everything? Could it be that science doesn't always get it right? Well, the one example we can point to is the days of Noah. Because you know what? They were flat wrong. They proved to everybody. And I mean, Google would have said the same thing. Ain't no rain. Ain't no such thing as rain. Rain, water, moisture comes up from the ground. And God said, you're wrong. He either caused an earthquake. I'm just telling you what a prophet said. All right? I'm saying what the tapes say. Is that okay? He either caused an earthquake or somebody had atomic power that they threw it and burst some part of the earth, and it swung the earth backward and threw it out of its orbit, and now it leans back. So whereas the earth stood like this once, now it's like this. This is the way it was, and everything was beautiful in that condition. Now all of a sudden it's like this. Why? Because God knew how to bring destruction on the earth and not destroy it. Now listen, it's a pretty fantastic thing for somebody to move the earth out of its orbit. Do you have any idea how much mass is involved in the earth? I mean, how big it actually is and how heavy it is. I've flown around it. I flew around it, I think, 6 times last year. And I'll tell you what, it's pretty big. It's got a lot of water, and it's got a lot of force and rocks and islands and continents and everything else. And the whole thing was moved out of place. It's really big. The earth is really big. It's really heavy. And yet God knew how to bring destruction some way, that it didn't destroy everyone, but it accomplished his purpose, and it's still like this. I mean, that's pretty cool. You got to admit, that's pretty amazing that God, only God could do that, right? Only God could do that. All right, so he said, and it swung the earth backward, threw it out of its orbit, and now it leans back. Here's what it looks like. When you look at the axis, this is what it looks like. Let me go back. And when they did that, the heat, the cold of the earth, the sun, and away from the sun caused the cloud to come over. He's Jehovah Jireh. And let me tell you something. Jehovah Jireh can not only provide a ram or a job or a fellowship hall, but he can also provide himself anything that his word requires. Anything the word says, God can produce that because he's Jehovah Jireh. So don't limit Jehovah Jireh to say, well, you know, he can produce a ram or he can produce a new ear or a new eye or a new job for me. God can do that. He's Jehovah Jireh. But he can also do great big things. Like he can move the earth and he can move it back. Because if he moved it out, he can move it back, right? if it's like this, you know, it wasn't made that way, but because when God made it, you remember what he did? He stood back and said, this is good. He didn't look back and say, that's tilted. He said, that's good. But you know what? It got tilted. It got tilted because of judgment, a judgment cycle that the world moved into. And if it's moved out, and God's a restorer of things, one day he's going to do this. He's going to move it back. You believe that? So, let me just revisit a few things back here. Just very briefly here, because this is old news. It's not fake, it's old news. The powerful earthquake that unleashed a devastating tsunami Friday appears to have moved the main island of Japan by 8 feet and shifted the earth on its axis. This was the big earthquake that took place off Japan and the nuclear reactor in Fukushima, I think it was. Is that what it was called? It was damaged there, and all the other consequences that came because of that. At this point, we know that one GPS station moved 8 feet. And they've seen a map from the GSI, which is the Geospatial Information Authority. They have satellites up there which monitor where all these stations are on the earth. So they put a pin in the earth. They got a satellite up there watching it, measuring, and it's still in the same place, same place. Whoa, all of a sudden it's moved 8 feet. Can the earth move? Yes, it did. It did one time, this much. And here it is now moving in little increments because of earthquakes that are taking place. Because you know what? God knows how to make it rain. God knows how to make it rain. Did the earthquake, here's another article, did the earthquake that spawned a recent Indian Ocean tsunami affect the Earth's rotation? This is in 2004. You remember when the great tsunami took place. The Earth wobbles as it rotates because its mass is not balanced about its rotational axis, just like a tire on a car that will wobble as if it rotates if the tire is not perfectly balanced. I'm reading fast. This is old news. I can't demonstrate this, really. You don't want me to wobble around here in the pulpit, but you get the idea that the earth is it's not upright, it's tilted, and it moves in a certain fashion and wobbles as it moves there. The size of the planet's wobble is actually about 33 feet. Imagine that when the earth rotates, it wobbles out of place 33 feet. As the India subplate subducted beneath the Burma plate, the mass of the earth was rearranged, not only causing the speed of rotation to change, which causes the length of the day to change. Wow. But also causing the wobble motion of the planet to change by about an inch. Hey, no wonder things are in an upheaval. The wobble is also affected by other influences, such as atmospheric pressure, things that happen in the sun, things that happen on the earth and so forth. So there are natural phenomena. And, you know, in our day, they're pretty smart, and they're able to monitor things that happen and things that change. The Global Positioning Survey and all the other things that they use up there in the sky to look down on the earth and figure out where things have moved and so on, it's all happening. Let's look at it again. There was another major earthquake in Chile, fourth largest in the history of the world, according to measurements. Now, they never had measurements back in the early days, but according to measurement, Saturday's Chile earthquake was so powerful that it shifted the earth axis and shortened the length of a day, NASA announced. By speeding up the Earth's rotation, the magnitude 8.8 earthquake, the fifth largest, ever recorded, shortened the length of a day. Because now if we have less wobble, it's going to take less time to spin around. Therefore, the length of a day is actually going to be a little bit shorter. That's why you're all so busy. Because a couple of nanoseconds here and a couple of nanoseconds there, hey, it adds up over time. For comparison, the model estimated that the magnitude 9 Sumatra quake shortened the length of a day by 8 millionths of a second. So there are changes that are taking place in the earth. They're well documented, and you don't need me to spend a whole lot of time on it. Here's again, the Japan earthquake may have shortened the days. The calculations show that the Japan quake should have shifted the position of the earth's axis by about 17 centimeters towards 133 degrees longitude. This is actually changing the earth's rotation. So we're living on a planet that's actually changing. And the tectonic plate movement and all the other things that are happening, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, all of the different things that are taking place in the earth are, you know what it is? It's groaning and travailing. Something's going to give. How do we look at that? Now, if you're not a believer and you look at this and you say, I want to get married and have children and die before all of this kind of breaks open here. Hey, let me tell you something. The Bible says that the day will come when people will actually pray that the rocks and the mountains will fall on them to hide them from the wrath of Almighty God when it begins to come forth. Imagine now. Imagine what kind of scenario that will be when that happens here. Now, for believers, we don't look at it that way as a cycle of wrath. We look at it as a cycle of completion. And, you know, in the end of that cycle of completion is the change of our bodies, right? Put your hand up and just say, amen, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I'm going. I got a place at the wedding supper. Brother Branham says it this way in the seals. He said, oh my, my, don't that make us old folks feel good? And all the old folks said, it ought to make us feel good waiting for this hour. We understand this will take place at the first resurrection. Nature is groaning. We are groaning. Everything is groaning because we realize something's not right. Now here's what's important. And the only way we can groan and wait for it, the only way you can put your hand up and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm on my way to the married supper, is because there's been a new life that comes in here and speaks of another world. So glory to God. In the same way that the earth and the, you know, the physical creation is actually groaning and it's responding and it's moving and it's trying to get to its right place. It's trying to get back to where it belongs. It's the same reason that we look for eternity and we look for glory and we look for a place at the wedding supper, because God birthed something on the inside of us that actually calls for that world and calls for that kingdom. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. There's something in us that groans to be right and to go to the right place. This isn't the right place. I will tell you, in heaven there's no pit bulls. In heaven there's no sickness. In heaven there'll be no funerals. In heavens, there'll be no places of destruction and turmoil and tears. Let me tell you, we groan for that. We long for that. We pray that God will bring us to that. And one day, it will happen. And all of this, what I'm doing today, is an attempt to build faith in your hearts to help you realize that we're probably closer than what we think. Nature's groaning. Here's Brother Branham again. I'm being repetitive here, but I'm not going to be long. Nature's groaning, and we're groaning with it. Nature is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, because nature was cursed with its master. What's he referring to? But the Garden of Eden. That's when nature was cursed, right? With its master. When its master was cursed, nature fell with its master. That's when lions started eating sheep. All of the lower creation below the master was cursed when the fall came. But when this kinsman redeemer came, hallelujah, and redeemed back the man that's the master over nature, then all nature is waiting for the man, the master, and the master is the sons of God that was given this earth. So you're not where you're supposed to be, even in this world. We're not where we're supposed to be because we're supposed to be in God's kingdom, right? But even in this world, we live in a limited sense with jurisdiction over our world because, I mean, you can build something and have a flood and then wipes it all away. That's not the way Adam did it. When Adam did something, it was kind of a permanent thing. Adam had complete control over the elements back in the Garden of Eden, right? Right? Adam could say to this tree, be moved over here, and it was moved over here. Adam had control. And nature didn't kick back at him and say, well, I'll send a cyclone through there or a tornado, wham, and everybody's down the root cellar. There was not even any root cellars back in the Garden of Eden. So you understand, Brother Bam's saying that even in this earth, we're not really where we should be because of the fall, and nature is still cursed. Nature is still cursed. That's why we have pollution. That's why we have volcanoes. That's why we have destruction in the earth, because of natural phenomena, right? And we're not where we belong eternally because we're still in these bodies. This body is not meant to live in eternity. I'm glad this body is not going to make it into eternity. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm glad God's got a better body, an eternal body, Brother Larry, for us to get over on the other side. And God's preparing that already for us. It's already made without hands, right? Without mom and dad. It's already made over there, and we'll step into that. And that's the body that will cart you around for all eternity, because it's an eternal body made for an eternal soul that's made for eternity itself. Are we okay? So, Brother Branham says, now God will have his heavens, of course, but this was given to man. In Adam's world, there was no such thing as a chestnut blight. So they had trees and they grew, and there was no blights to destroy the whole thing. Brother Branham said that this was given to man. This earth was given to man. And the kinsman redeemer come to redeem us back to that we lost. How beautiful. When the work is finished, we have all things again. When the work is finished, we have all things again. Glory to God. I can't wait. Because you know what? God's restored us. Listen, God's restored us back to a relationship of harmony and love and peace with Him again. We're waiting for the world to catch up. Because one day, we'll get it all. In other words, we'll have the body, we'll have Christ among us, and we'll have a world that's fit for us all to live in eternity. Right now, we have the relationship. We have the eternal part on the inside. Thank God, we're eternal creatures with Him now. And it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Somebody say amen. We have that now. We have the relationship now. We have forgiveness now. And we have communion with Christ now. But one day, it'll all be restored. So that it won't only be Brother Branham standing on top of the mountain in Colorado saying to the storm, peace be still. But sons of God will stand and live in a world that's under their control and their dominion. And Satan will not be the god of this evil age. Are we all right? What kind of all things, Brother Branham said, what kind of all things are you talking about? We have eternal life, eternal health, eternal youth. We have eternal power. Imagine. We will have eternal life, eternal health, eternal youth, eternal power. Oh, we're just eternal with the eternal. And then we're all waiting for that time to come, waiting, groaning, waiting. There's an anticipation in the spiritual realm for the manifestation of the sons of God to where we spring back to eternal life, eternal health, eternal youth, and eternal power. And we have that, and we have a body that matches that. It's a fit habitation for Christ and His bride. We'll have that. In the meantime, people who write the bulletin of atomic scientists, they realize, oh, something's happening. But they're not saying, oh, we're just eternal with the eternal and we're springing back to the eternal realm. They're not saying that. They're just saying, unless somebody does something, we're going to blow ourselves up. We're going to just destroy the whole thing. And you know what? If we don't stop somehow making styrofoam cases for burgers, my goodness, the whole world's going to plunge into darkness and death. And I'm not making light of it because that's what they really believe. And they really believe that. And we would probably really believe that unless we had a revelation that came from on high that said, that's not really why the world is changing. Let me give away the end of the story and say I believe the reason why it's changing is because it's going back to the way it once was. Brother Branham said, now you need to be sure of this as we move into this next part here. So get ready. God is the boss of all of it. Right? God's in control. God's not lost control. And we're just working as His ambassadors down here in these offices. So if God's in control, you don't need to preserve the earth. You don't need to do your part and get out there and march for global warming or global cooling. You don't need to do that at all. God's the boss. He's in control of all of it. Right? So don't, if I were you, I'm not telling you what to do, but if I were you, I would not spend a whole lot of energy on the political process that tries to correct all the people who are tree huggers and all the rest of it, you know, because those are political causes and, you know, they're just trying to sell solar panels and all the rest of it. So God's the boss. God's in control. We're just ambassadors. Now, ambassadors means that we are representatives of the kingdom. We're people who speak for the kingdom. So God doesn't want you to really do anything in terms of changing the course of history or the course of the world. God doesn't want you to do anything to rearrange things on the earth. He really wants you to make sure that everyone you come in contact with, you let them know, hey, there's more happening here than just climate control. There's more happening here than just climate change. Okay? That's how we look at it. I put this in here for us. This is how we look at it. God's in control. We're ambassadors. God's in control. You're sent. An ambassador is one that's sent on behalf of your country. You're sent. So when you go into the world, go tell them the truth. Go tell them the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God sent a message. And you know what? God allowed a prophet to raise up out of this nation here. Go, you be an ambassador and go tell them the good news. Is that okay? But the people outside this message don't view it this way. So I just wandered over to the World Council of the Church's website. And I wanted to see what was up there because every now and then I visit it. And this is the World Council of the Churches, and they're at an assembly here in Switzerland, January 23rd, a couple of days ago. And they were gathering there in this ecumenical center to pray for Christian unity in Geneva and worldwide. And at the core of this, there was a Catholic priest who was there who urged Christians to put words into action and contribute to bringing more justice in the world. He urged Christians to put words into action. Words into action. Let's look at what the words are that we need to put into action, that he's telling us we need to put into action and contribute to bringing more justice in the world. Now, again, I'm prefacing some of this stuff here. Remember now, God's in control, right? God in his evil age. Here's 1965. Brother Branham says, now this shows who's the head of this world church system. Shows who is the head of it. It's Satan in the form of a superman, a person of knowledge, a super knowledge. He knows more than all the rest of them. No matter what the word says, no matter what the word says, he's got his own interpretation to it, the interpretation of this evil age. So understand that there is an interpretation we have of events, because modern events are made clear by prophecy, right? But someone else has got a very strong interpretation of events, and he's not a member of the bride. It's another entity, another force in the earth. God never has two that conflict, so one of them has to be of God, one of them is the other side. And there are only two sides. So this idea of supposed unity is all really a precursor to everybody becoming one. And it's all being swallowed up into one. This is what Brother Branham says. Notice his plans to build a super denominational church, the World Council of Churches, so that all the world will worship him, the beast, under the name of United Christianity. Mark my words. The purpose of the World Council of Churches is not to make everybody love one another. The purpose of the World Council of Churches is to bring everybody under Satan's control. The control and the dominion of the Antichrist. That centers out of Rome. Okay? So, this Brother Branham is very clear. I'm thankful he's very clear. He said Revelation 13, 6, 8. That's America's chapter in the book of Revelation, right? It's a modern Tower of Babel. What happened in Babel? Just stop for a minute. Nimrod forced everyone to pay tribute and to center around one place in the earth, which was Babel and the tower. Nimrod forced everybody to do it. They all had to pay tribute. They all had to come to that because now this was the place of safety. If the earth is ever going to be destroyed again, we're building a place of safety because we don't want to rely on God or rely on anybody else. We're going to build our own tower. God looked at that. Brother Branham looked at that and said, there's the beginning of denominationalism right there. So Brother Branham goes on and talks about Nimrod, and he says, Rome now is Babylon. Rome now is Babylon. Meaning, if Rome is Babylon, built by Babel, and you know what? Somebody's going to exert an influence that's going to force everyone to come together and be subservient to the tower, to Babel. The whole world is brought to Babylon. And it's brought in by the World Council of Churches. It's the goat that leads the herd, which will make every one of them bow to her. This is not about having everybody love one another. This is all about worship, because there's one who sits in the temple as God and wants to be worshipped like God. And you've took the mark of the beast and not knowing what you were doing, but those who were elected, somebody say amen. Thank God for election. Those who are elected will hear the word and come out of it. Come out of her, my people. That's us. Glory to God, that's us. That is God. That is nothing less than God's mercy to you in letting you hear his voice and giving you something inside that responds to that voice and said, I know that's right. Glory to God, I'm willing to leave fathers, mothers, houses, and lands and my church and my systems and everything else, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, give my heart to Christ and so on, walk in the light of this hour. And God has done that because of election. Not because you were such a great person, but because of election. God did that. But nonetheless, this other part's got to be fulfilled. Let me quote you something here from Forbes magazine. Steve will tell you, Forbes magazine is a credible publication that a lot of people who are movers and shakers and wealthy people in the world would read. Steve Forbes is a former candidate for the presidency of the United States. This is one of the writers in there, and watch what he says. This is an incredible statement here. These measures of a call for unity in the world by the Pope, ought to be conceived of or thought of as the first steps in the view of a public authority with universal jurisdiction. Stop for a minute. The call for unity by the Vatican should be seen Now, this guy happens to be Tim Warstall. He happens to be a former Catholic. I like, when I'm reading about stuff like this, I like to read from a former Catholic because they have a little better understanding of how things happen in the Catholic Church in my research. He's saying that this is really a call for the beginning of a public authority with international jurisdiction. But this is the aim. This is the goal. That this is not just somebody who wants to operate out of Rome and control Rome and the Catholic Church, but he wants to have international jurisdiction. He wants to control the world. International jurisdiction means that that overspreading reach goes everywhere. And let me tell you, he'd swallow us up in a heartbeat if he could. As a first stage, a public authority, public person, or as Brother Branham says in Birth Pains, a superman with public authority, universal jurisdiction, as a first stage in a longer effort by the global community to steer its institutions towards achieving the common good. You know what? We've got to have a cause. And if we can find a cause, we can all steer our resources and our energies to one thing that will bring everybody together and make the world a better place. Because that's the illusion the Antichrist has created. If we all work together and pull together and we pass the right laws and nobody drinks out of a styrofoam cup, you know what? We're going to have a world for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren for years to come, and everything will be glorious and great. And that's the illusion that the Antichrist has wanted to present for years. Other stages will have to follow, in which the dynamics familiar to us may become more marked, but they also may be accompanied by changes which would be useless to try to predict today. And if you read on down through the article, and you can have this, he's talking about economy and finance. In other words, everything is kind of linked to this cause that we have, because in a sense, what they say is, if we don't have an earth, what's the point? I mean, what's the point of having a savings account if you don't have an earth? What's the point of having, you know, cleaner movies come out of Hollywood if you don't have an earth? Nothing makes sense if you don't have an earth. So you know what we all got to do? We all got to stop what we're doing, put our energies and our resources into making the earth more green. We got to preserve it. We got to hold on to it. The Bible is telling us something different. The Bible is saying it's groaning to go that way, and the world, in their blindness under the Antichrist, is wanting to go this way with universal jurisdiction. Am I making sense? And we're here saying, and I'm streaming. I mean, I might get my nuts loosened on my Buick here. It's happened before. But let me say this. There's people in the world who would not appreciate our stand, because it's contrary to the way everything is moving in the world. And everything in the world is moving this way towards protecting the earth, protecting the environment, protecting the elements. Don't club seals. Don't cut down a tree. Don't hurt anybody. And that's the way it's all moving. We're saying, bring it on. Let it happen. Amen. Glory to God. Can't wait. Not that we're contributing to the destruction of the environment. And we shouldn't do that. We should have no trace camping, just like, you know, the other guys used to. But I'm saying that, you know, we're stewards over the earth too, right? God's given us stewardship over the earth. We got a little bit of Adam left in us and a little bit of, anyway. So all of a sudden now, a few years ago, someone tells me that the Pope jumps in the climate fight. And I said, in the words of somebody in our church, I said, really? Are you serious? And they said, why not? This is somebody who's well-read in these things. And he said, why not? This is an issue that everyone can agree on. It's an issue that everyone can rally around. It's an issue that can be said everyone's affected by. It's an issue that doesn't create political divides in the sense that, like when you have abortion, you have an immediately divided train of thought. And there are other issues that are very divisive and very volatile. But here he jumps in on the climate issue. Huh. This, by the way, is a screen from the United Nations. So now, let me just quote for you from the United Nations. Okay? This is a spokesman for the United Nations Secretary, Ban Ki-moon, who issued this statement. All right? This is what he said. The Secretary General welcomes the papal encyclical. An encyclical is a document that the Pope puts out. He welcomes the encyclical, released today by His Holiness, Pope Francis, who highlights climate change as one of the principal challenges facing humanity. And it is a, you ready? It's a moral issue. What kind of beast are you if you're drinking coffee out of a styrofoam cup? What kind of a monster are you if you burn fossil fuels? And it's a moral issue requiring respectful dialogue with all parts of society. Stop for a minute. He connects this, and if you read all the literature, he connects this to the movement of immigrants in the world. He connects this to the burning of fossil fuels and power and electricity and the grids and all of that. He connects all of that. Because if there is no world, what's the point? And all these immigrants and the people who are moving around the world and so forth, they're all suffering because of the decisions that are made by a few wealthy people in the world who are saying, we want to have our money anyway, so we really don't care what we do to the environment. And so he's made it, or he's turned it into a moral issue, and the UN is patting him on the back, saying, finally, someone said it. Secretary General notes the encyclical's findings that there is a very solid scientific consensus showing significant warming of the climate system, and that most global warming in recent decades is mainly a result of human activity. Now, I was like a lot of you. When it comes to climate control, I say, are you serious? Or, in the words of somebody in this church, really? Until I went to Alaska, and I told you before. All of a sudden, they're seeing bugs up there that they never saw before. They see animals that are roaming north that they're hunting that they don't really have good names for. They got to Google them, to take pictures of them and Google them to find out what the animals are because the animals are moving north. And the brothers up there who are hunters, they're men of nature, they're Indians, and they study this stuff. They study the patterns of movements and how the migrations occur up there. I've been with them. I've been out hunting with them. And they're looking at this and they're saying, you know, it's changing. Every year it's changing. Yesterday, it was warmer in Chivak, Alaska, where Steve and the boys are going, than in Reiner. I still wouldn't go there in February, but Brother Bram said, the world's not even shining, the sun's not even shining like it used to before. Things are changing. Now, the interesting thing is that when the Pope now jumps into the arena, makes this an issue, but he makes it a moral issue. And the good guy is the one who stands for a clean earth and, you know, everything is greener, everything is nice, and everybody's there's no poor people anymore, and everybody's kind of on an equal footing. And he's now the moral marker, if you like. He's the moral standard for the world. He's making this issue a big issue. And he's making it so that everybody has to agree with him, or you're considered immoral. Because you're either moral or immoral, right? You're one or the other. Brother Branham said, that's where the church is missing it today. It's that spiritual discernment to see what God's doing. It's really important for us to see what God's doing here. Now, let me go on again. We're back at the UN here. The UN Environmental Program welcomes Pope Francis' unambiguous call to action in the face of global environmental degradation and climate change. This encyclical is a clarion call that resonates not only with Catholics, but with all of the earth's peoples. Here we go. It's a call for unity. Science and religion are aligned on this matter. The time to act is now. This is the quotation from the United Nations. We share Pope Francis' view that the response to environmental degradation and climate change can not only be defined by science, technology, or economics, but it is also a moral imperative. It is absolutely sinful. It is absolutely immoral for us not to do something about this. We must not overlook that the world's poorest, the most vulnerable, suffer most from the changes we are seeing. So all of a sudden he's turned this into a moral issue. And now you're going to look like the bad guy if you don't agree. You're going to look like the bad country if you don't agree. Let me go on and read just a little bit more. The Vatican calls for world government. This, again, is in the Forbes magazine. I have the article right here. This is a comment that was made in that article that it isn't just implied It's the explicit call in the latest from the Vatican that we need to move to a system of world government. And if Vatican cardinals have yet to join the Occupy Wall Street protesters, a document released by the Holy See calling for a world authority to crack down on capitalism suggests some are considering it. Let's go a little step further. Pope Francis says the world government must rule the U.S. for their own good. Pope Francis' idea that Americans would be better off under a world government doesn't just stop there. The radical leftist pontiff also went on recording records stating that Europe should become one country under one government. Guess what we're talking about? We're talking about the whole world under one head, whether you like it or not. How many are glad for election? How many are glad for revelation that God's given you? Because you heard that voice and come out of her, my people. I'm just saying to you this morning, you need to be ready to stand. Because this thing's going to blow wide open. And you're going to be the oddball. You're going to be those people that are all of a sudden not fitting in. All right, let's go a little bit further. Brother Bam says, look at the track of the church. He goes through dark ages, justification, sanctification, all the way down. Right at the end, before the burning and destroying, super sign appears mysteriously right on the scene again before us. God himself. In the middle of all of this happening now in the world, and it's a subtle thing. Hey, you know, sometimes you need somebody to kind of pull it together and piece it together and just kind of show you the headlines. You can track it yourself and you can research it yourself. But here's Brother Branham back in 1963 telling us that when all of these flashing red lights are going on here, God sends a super sign. And you know what? Here it is in Life magazine. A picture of the cloud. And you know what that is? That's the presence of Christ himself there. And the clouds form it. Brother Bram looks at that and he says, whoa. He says, they're looking at it wrong. Look at it this way. And here it is, the image of Christ. He said it's a super sign that appears mysteriously. It's God himself. Not a man, but God made manifest. A super sign, an everlasting sign, an eternal sign, a super sign. God manifested in the flesh. So it is not just Life magazine. It's not just a photograph of a cloud. Let me tell you something. This is none less. Listen to me this morning. This is none less than Christ himself back among his people, opening up his word. And revealing everything you need to know to get you from here to there in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is not Brother Branham getting us there, folks. This is not Brother Branham all of a sudden having supernatural powers as if we should worship Brother Branham and go back and honor him, as something other than a man. Let me tell you, he was a prophet used of God on the earth, and God had an instrument through which he could speak to this world and say, I'm here. I'm here to get you from here to there. I'm here for the invisible union of the bride of Christ and the bridegroom. Do you believe that? Something entirely different is happening in the spiritual realm than it is in the natural realm here. Not a man, but God. Not a man. Not William Branham. Not Brother Barry. Not a man, but God. Somebody, can you say amen? Not a man, but God made manifest. A super sign, an everlasting sign, an eternal sign. God manifested in the flesh. Same sign that his son did. His super son promised at the same time as it was in the days of Sodom. So will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Same sign, same thing, same God that shows up to fulfill his word in that particular hour. And you're the people that God's using in this hour. Like a whole lot of our denominations, and here he is in worlds falling apart. A whole lot of our denominations today looking for a superman. Our nation is looking for a superman. Russia is looking for a superman. The Western world is looking for a superman. The Eastern world, the UN is looking for one. The churches are looking for one. But what kind of one are they looking for? We just read you how the UN views the statements of the Pope. Russia is looking for a Messiah that's anointed with brains, that he knows how to conquer outer space for them and beat everybody to the moon. They want to conquer the world. You know what? It's a rat race out there for them. Even the United States now created another branch of the military to patrol space. Wow, that's a big job. That's a real big job. But you know what? Here we have a man now who comes in as a morally superior person who says, you know what, folks? What's the point of conquering space if we don't have an earth? What's the point of doing this if we don't have an earth and so on? And all of a sudden now, it's not just a financial issue. It's not just whether trees have a blight or not. This is a moral issue now. And you're morally repugnant to this system if you don't go along with this. So the Americans back out of the Paris Accords and say, we're not going to do that because we want to, you know, create our own jobs. So the whole world now, all of a sudden there's a backlash here. And the Pope says, Someone needs to rule the U.S. for their own good. My goodness, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. Have madmen in the office of the White House there. Someone needs to rule those people. And someone needs to bring Europe together and call it, you know, one big union there. And that's why Britain is in such a mess trying to get out, and they can't get out or can't get in. Because you know what? Prophecy is moving it all in a certain direction. And you're not, listen, this is Jehovah Jireh we're dealing with, folks. This is Jehovah Jireh who heaps it all up to fulfill His word in a particular hour. It's going to come to pass. It doesn't matter whether British politicians vote this way or that way. It's going to come to pass. It doesn't matter what happens, whether we get a wall, a crazy wall, or we don't get a wall. You know what? God's prophecies are going to be fulfilled because we're dealing with Jehovah Jireh. We're not dealing with the White House here. We're not dealing with, Mrs. May. We're dealing with Jehovah Jireh, who's making it come to pass because He provides everything that the Word needs to be fulfilled in their time. Hello? This is what we call a wake-up call. This is what we call standing in the door and shouting to everybody, saying, we need to be aware that you're going to need to make a stand. And you're going to be questioned. You're going to have to have answers for the things that are taking place. And you know, why don't you join with all the other systems that are now joining in with this movement here to protect the earth? The whole world's wanting a Superman, they're going to get it. Just wait till the church goes up and Satan's cast out. They want somebody who can really do the job. Really? They want somebody who can really do the job. He's going to do it. And if nature was pretty as it is, being perverted, what will it be like when it gets converted back to the will of God? Brother Miriam's not denying that the earth needs to go through a change. It does. It's groaning. It's wanting to do it because Jehovah Jireh is making it happen in the time cycle we're living in. And there's something in the earth that's calling for the right place, the right environment, the right everything to be in place. Because it's a part of the lower creation that was cursed when the master was cursed. And now all of a sudden here it is, you know, groaning to get back, just like we're groaning to get back. Waiting, glorious waiting, all of nature, all that day when He shall come the second time from heaven, who God will send in due season, and when these mortal bodies that we groan in now will take on immortality. You understand what He's saying? Over and over, He's saying the same thing. Over and over, He's encouraging us. Oh, people of the United States, that's us. He said, flee as hard as you can from this scientific age that we're living in. God does His own proving. He said He would do this in the last days. And now science has jumped right in with both feet. And they say, well, you know, the oceans was this temperature last week, and now they're this temperature this week. And this is happening in the atmosphere, and this is happening in... So we've proved definitively that the earth is warming up and it's our fault and we've got to change it. And if nations don't want to agree, then we're going to punish those nations economically and all the other things that go on. But it's not science that we rely on. We interpret all of this very differently. We look at this very differently than the world does. And in the last days, the God of this evil age would blind the eyes of the people with His intellectual knowledge on a mixed tree of good and evil. Could it be that the world and the world's systems are actually blinded and duped into thinking that this movement is all of God? Could it be? A lot of money behind it. A lot of very wealthy people behind it. And here comes that thing headed up, that denomination from way back in the Dark Ages, before the Dark Ages, all heading up, all the way from Babel in the book of Genesis. Here comes that great big thing. All heading up in a Superman, and Satan said, I will exalt myself above the sons of God, and they'll listen to me. And he, as God, will sit in the temple of God. The sons of God will fall for it. But the bride of Christ won't. Because it'll come so close, you would be deceived by it. Except the elect will not be deceived by it. I don't know about you. I'm excited. I'm excited because what I'm telling you this morning is that it's happening. The things that Brother Branham talked about back there, and you begin to look at them together, look at the headlines, things that go on. We're conditioned to kind of look at Israel. And if it isn't happening in Israel, who cares? But all these other pieces have to be in place. The Antichrist system has to come together. They have to have a cause to bring everybody together. I'm not saying that this is a definitive answer and this is the way it's all going to be. I'm just saying that Brother Branham said there's signs everywhere. And he says, watch nature. Jesus told us to watch nature. Luke 17, Luke 21. Watch nature. It's a sign to you. It's letting you know something there. And we have things that are happening in the earth, things that are happening in the heavens, things that are happening with the weather, things that are happening with the water and all the other things, the movements of the earth. And the movements of places like Japan. They're not where they used to be. And all the other things that are taking place there. And you know what? I don't think we should just sit around and wait and say, well, I think this has got to happen, that's got to happen. That's where the church needs to exercise its discernment. Based on the Word of God, not on CNN, but based on the Word of God, to look at this and say, is this that? Is this that? I'll tell you what, if I was not saved, I would really consider the issue of getting saved. If I was not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and standing where I need to be, I'd be thinking about that today. If I need to make something right, because, look, the people in the world, the people at the bulletin are saying, if you've got stuff on your bucket list to do, do it. I mean, they're saying that. I'm not saying that. They're saying that. What's on my bucket list is going to happen. On my bucket list, naturally, I've been a lot of places in the world. It's not like anywhere I really want to go. If I died today and I didn't get to go to Australia, who cares? I really don't care. I don't have any passion to go anywhere else in the world. On my bucket list, I'll tell you what's on there. My bucket list is the wedding supper. On my bucket list is the millennium. My bucket list is some hill in glory, in eternity, a house over there. That's, if you look at my bucket list, that's what I really would like. Money, hey, you're not going to take it with you, right? It comes, it goes. The pendulum swings this way, swings that way. No sense getting our hearts and our sights set on that. Possessions, lands, houses, cars, hey, they all rust. They all leak. Your education, your mind will leak too. What's your passion for today? Let me see if I can reach that. What's your passion today? What are you really passionate about? Is it natural things? I mean, hey, we thank God we have good natural things. We thank God we have a nice church. But I'll tell you what, that's not where our passion should lay. Our passion should be for getting people to come to the tree of life. Getting people to come to Christ. Getting people to be aware of where we really are in God's standing, in God's time. That's really what we should be passionate about. Lord, make me enthusiastic about witnessing the truth to this dying world. As this dying world is sliding into something, you don't even recognize where they're going. But you and I are ambassadors. You're empowered as ambassadors to go out and represent the kingdom of heaven on this earth and to be able to tell people the good news, because stuff is happening. It's happening right here as we sit here. It's happening and it's unfolding right here as we sit here today. What a day we live in. Let's have our musicians come. Why don't we stand on our feet here this morning and we'll let you change your position here. The Vatican might be calling for world unity and world government. I'll tell you what, we're calling for another world. We're calling for another place that God's got for us. Calling for another dimension that we know by faith exists. We are believing that it's not far away. And we're believing that one day we'll go to it. And we're believing that the way we'll get there is by faith. We'll get there by faith. We'll not get there by association with this message. We'll get there by faith. Believing that this is exactly what the Word of God has told us and warned us about in the last day. And God sent a message in which rapturing faith is available. And may God quicken that to our hearts. And raise our level of faith to where we say, it doesn't really matter what this world says, what the laws and all the politics and all the other stuff that changes. It's going to change, and it's going to change radically before we get out of here. I'll tell you what, there's one thing that God's given to us, and that's a solid rock of revelation. I'm excited. I'm excited about where we've come to. And like Brother Branham prayed, in the very first quote that I gave you there, Brother Branham said, Lord, we want to know our standing. We want to know our place. We want to know where we are in the timeline of things. And I say this, it isn't just Israel that we look at. We look at Israel because it's God's timepiece. But we look at it in conjunction with all the other pieces on the chessboard that need to be in place. One of those big things is this Antichrist system that's all moving in position. Lord, help me to be in the right position. Help me to be in that right place. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Sing it now. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Number four. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him now rest in His righteousness, oh, flawless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Again, on Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Glory to God. I'm amazed that You love me. This morning, I'm amazed that You love me. Oh, I'm amazed how You came through Your precious blood. I found pardon, and my sins are all. For a minute, just shake off your tiredness for a minute and just realize this. If it was not for God's call down through the ages to speak to your heart in this age, where would you be this morning? You'd be out there following the crowd like everybody else and moving right gently into the tribulation. But God in His mercy has said, you're not one of them. There's something in you that's going to call for another world. And that's what God's done. He's unearthed that in us. He has birthed that in us. And brought us to a place where we realize,
amen,
we're not destined for this world. We're not destined for the movements of this world. God's called us into a higher calling and a higher place and a higher position. And one day we will take that eternal body and have eternal youth and eternal power in that place over there. Let me tell you, we ought to be a very, very thankful people that God has done that. Why in the world has God done that to someone like you or me? Why in the world has God done that? You know what? It's not for anything you did, but just because of His grace and His mercy. Just because of election, just because of predestination, and God chose you to live in the last day when the lid would be taken off and you'd see the whole thing for what it really is. And the world out there clamoring after this and clamoring after that, and you're standing here saying, yeah, but the Word doesn't say that. The Word says this. I'm amazed that You love me. Sing it with me. Oh, how You care through Your precious blood, pardon, and my
Heavenly Father, oh, you have blessed us, Lord Jesus. How we thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, you're so good to us. Blessed Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He is good. He is good. His love endures forever. He is good. Hallelujah. That sounds so good. You sing like you got it. Sing like you got it. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Let's sing that same key in there. Key of F there. Lead me, Lord. But I believe in this atmosphere, you can reach out and touch him by faith as he passes by. And just let that healing virtue come to you and heal those things that need healing in your life. I believe he's here. I believe he's here to empower his astronauts. I believe he's here to pressurize us. I believe he's here to do everything we need to get from where we are to where we need to be. From the cross to the wedding supper, God put two markers here. From Calvary to the wedding supper, he put two markers. We're somewhere between one of those two markers here. We know exactly where we're going. God's made a way for us to get there. He just wants you to believe that with God, all things are possible. That includes the healing of your body. That includes peace in your mind. That includes comfort when no one else can give you comfort. It includes all of that. It includes fixing the broken body and the broken marriage. God can do all of that. And in this atmosphere, just reach out to him now as he passes by. Do it this morning. He is here. Father, we thank you for this time together in your presence, Lord. How precious a thing it is. Lord, I pray that you would empower these sons and daughters of God to conquer the world around them because we have been redeemed. And even though this world is not, Lord, you've given us a mastery over this world. So, Lord, may we not let our finances conquer us. Lord, may we conquer them. May, Lord Jesus, we not let our enemies conquer us. But Lord, may we deal with each other with grace and mercy. Father God, I pray also that you would prepare us. because we're moving in a direction that's completely opposite of this world. And Lord, the tide is against us, but you are for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I pray you would empower us to stand in a world that's shaking. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bring healing to those who need it, whether it's healing of the heart or healing of the body. I pray, Lord, also for Hank today, and ask, dear God, that you'd be merciful to him. I pray, oh God, for those who are not here, Sister Angela, just Sister April and Sister Carol, and just so many, Lord, that are needing a touch from you. All the requests that have been bound together, Lord, and presented to you in faith, we commit them to you afresh and ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be merciful. We want to say, Lord, that we don't have enough words to really say how thankful we are that we are where we are. That, Lord, you have called us and you have beckoned to us, come out of her, my people. And now we stand on the rock of revelation. Lord Jesus, bless your people, Lord, I pray. Continue. Us in the path you have chosen, and we'll give you thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. We're going to let you go this morning. We're going to sing a little bit as you're leaving this morning, because there's just such a nice atmosphere and your voices sound so nice, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit loves that sound of true worship. So as you go this morning, sing that little chorus, I'm going to make it. He's already said that I would, in the key of F there. May God bless you. We'll see you tonight. One more time.